Lord in prayer this morning.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you most of all today for Jesus Christ, for how you sent him into the world to die on the cross for our sins. And we rejoice this morning here on Christmas Eve as we remember the birth of Jesus there in Bethlehem. And we marvel and wonder at how you did that, the way that you did that. We thank you for what we learn from the Scriptures, even as we've just read, the people that you brought into the lives of Joseph and Mary and Jesus, and how they revealed the truth about Jesus Christ. And so we pray that you'd help us to see that today. Lord, we lift up those who are sick, those who are not able to be here in our assembly. We just pray that you would watch over them and that you would bring healing to them. And think of those that are traveling at this season of the year. Please give safety. And we pray that you bring them back to us again. We just thank you that we're able to gather here today as an assembly of believers. And as a church, we thank you for our church. We pray that you would give us wisdom and guidance in the days ahead. We pray for your help and your grace. Help us, Lord, to worship you today. We pray that we'd be able to truly grasp the Scriptures. Please work in us through the Holy Spirit. Help us to respond to what we learned today. We think even as we give today through worship, we pray that you would be honored and glorified as these gifts are brought to you. And we pray that you'd use them for your honor and glory. We lift up our missionaries today. We thank you for them, and we think of them as they perhaps are having their Christmas services. And we pray that you would bless in those, that your word would go forth, and we pray that you would help them to have the strength that they need. We thank you for the part that we have in supporting missionaries here at this church, and we just pray that we would honor you in doing that. We think of our service tonight. We pray your blessing on that. Help us to be able to focus on the sending of your Son and the Incarnation. And so we pray that you would just bless that service tonight. Lord, we pray for our country. We think of our President Joe Biden, and we think of our governor here in Ohio, Mike DeWine, and all of our other authorities in this country. We do pray your blessing on them. We pray that you would guide them. We know that you do. We thank you that you are a sovereign God, and you have allowed these people to be in their offices. And so we pray that you would help them to recognize that and help them to make good decisions that would result in peace for us, our ability to continue to follow you. And we thank you for this time that we have here this morning. And we just pray your blessing. We ask that our hearts would be dedicated to you, and help us, Lord, to worship you today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals once again, and we'll sing another Christmas hymn here. Turn over to hymn number 93, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hymn number 93. And we'll stand as we sing this hymn together. Hymn number 93, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the herald angels sing. Thank you.
may be seated. And at this time, we'll have a special number from some young people. So they're all going to come up.
A manger scene, a tiny little manger scene.
Everywhere we go, we see them.
Mary kneeling.
Joseph standing.
Shepherds with their trailing sheep watching.
Wise men with their robes and gifts adoring.
Everyone's eyes pointing to the baby Jesus.
Lying on a bed of hay in a manger.
The wooden beams of the stable sheltering.
The golden angel heralding. And a star shining.
Everywhere we go, we see them. A manger scene made of wood or clay or glass or cloth. Or plastic. On the living room table, Sunday school platforms, people's lawns, Starbucks, department store window.
The manger scene, a moment frozen in time, God made flesh, dwelling among us, a baby, a savior, who is Christ the Lord.
You came to dwell among us, Lord,
on that long ago Christmas day.
Yet this year, I want to dwell with you. I want to find myself in the manger scene.
I want to lose myself in the manger scene. Wrapped up in the story.
The story wrapped up in me.
And so, God of all the hosts in heaven, hear my prayer.
Give me strong legs like Joseph, standing by Mary's side, supporting, protecting. He walked on those legs to Bethlehem. Those legs will take him to Egypt carrying a baby, a Savior who is Christ the Lord.
Give me eyes to see like the animal, eyes like the cow, the sheep, the donkey, patiently watching, simply being, waiting to see what will happen next to a Savior who is Christ the Lord.
Give me hands like the wise men, always filled with rich gifts that are carried over long distances. Hands that fold in prayer when they meet a Savior who is Christ the Lord.
Give me a voice like the angels, so that I can share good news. Of peace on earth, goodwill to all people, telling everyone how to meet a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
Give me feet like the shepherds, racing down from the mountains, feet that will seek good news and will bear good news of a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
Give me a soul like Mary's, who knows God's will, submits to it and trusts in Him, no matter the cost, loving the Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
Give me a heart that shines, like a bright star twinkling on a dark night, like the North Star over a fathomless sea, pointing, always pointing truly to a Savior, which is Christ our Lord.
Give me a mind like the stable, holding this gathering of faith, embracing this company of worshipers, whose center is always only Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us, a Savior who is Christ our Lord.
Give us a body like Jesus,
that grows in wisdom,
and speaks the truth,
and feeds the hungry, and loves the rejected,
and heals the wounded,
and comforts the brokenhearted,
and gives freely as the one who is
a Savior, Christ the Lord.
It's all right here, in a manger scene, a tiny little manger scene.
Everywhere we go, we see it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, young people. I ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. Chapter 2. I know all of you are wondering if I'm going to use the manger scene here in my message and act out the Christmas story. I'm not planning on doing that. So hopefully they all stay put there. And but you can just imagine what it would be like there if you can see those. We've been looking at the songs that surround the birth of Christ here in Luke 1 and 2. And we have seen four of those so far. We started with Elizabeth's song of comfort to Mary. She just found out she would conceive, and Mary came to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and we have that song that's recorded there. And then we looked at Mary's song right after that. She worships in truth and humility and thankfulness. And then last Sunday, we looked at Zechariah's song of praise for provision and preparation for salvation. And we saw the angel's song last Sunday night. Glory to God in the highest. And they gave that song to the humble shepherds that were outside of Bethlehem there. And now we come to the final song in this Christmas series here, the Song of Simeon. And we need to remember what has happened here in this passage in Luke 2. Of course, Christ is born. The shepherds come and they visit there at the stable, or they see Christ in the manger. And then we're told what happens after that. There's the naming of Jesus. And then 40 days after Jesus' birth, Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple. This was according to the law for Mary's purification and for Jesus' presentation as a firstborn son. And there were sacrifices that had to be offered. And they brought these two turtle doves or two pigeons, as was permitted for their situation there. And we have to remember that the temple complex was quite large in the first century. You know, there were outer courtyards where people would be coming and going. There were, of course, there was the temple itself, of course, the building that only the priests were allowed to go into. And there were priests that were serving people all around. As I imagine it, I would think it'd be kind of like a shopping mall type of feel with all the people that are coming in to these courtyards and different porticos that are there. Of course, that's where the early church first met as well. But there would have been a lot of people that are coming and going. And here we come to one man, a stranger, who comes up to them in the midst of all the people that are there and the commotion of perhaps even other parents bringing their babies to present them and offer sacrifices as well. But this one man comes and stops and talks to them, and that's this man, Simeon. I don't know if you've ever had a total stranger come up and start talking to you, but I'm sure that's all happened to us. And usually, it kind of bothers some people. Why is this person talking to me? You know, I don't know this person. Or you might enjoy it. I don't know. But it's always a little bit unusual and maybe memorable with something that person says. And I think that's kind of the feeling here as Simeon comes up to Mary and Joseph and Jesus, and he begins to talk to them. But we are introduced to him here in verses 25 through 27. Look at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. And then we come to his song there. But we're told here that Simeon was just and devout in verse 25. He was righteous before God. He had a good reputation among the people. And then we're told that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, verse 25. That's a name for the Messiah, consolation of Israel. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, is one who will bring consolation, who will bring comfort, who will bring encouragement to Israel. And Simeon was a man who believed that God would send consolation to Israel, and he was waiting for that. Now, as we understand the condition of the Jews of the day, the religious system, you know, it was corrupt. Jesus pointed that out. But here we do have a man who was faithful in the midst of that bad situation. And then we notice he had a special promise from God, verse 26 says. Somehow God revealed to him in some way, whether it was a dream or some other sort of prophecy, that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ or the Lord's anointed. You know, the Bible actually doesn't tell us how old he was. Oftentimes we picture him as an old man, and when we read the things that he said, you can kind of picture an old man saying the things that he said, but we don't actually know how old he was. He came into the temple and he meets Mary and Joseph as they bring in Jesus, and we're told the Holy Spirit was coordinating this meeting. Even though they didn't know each other, God arranged for them to meet, and Simeon takes Jesus in his arms and holds him, and he blesses God, the text says. Look at verse 28. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. We see this song or this hymn, this poem that the gospel records for us here that Simeon speaks. And there's two main parts to it. We see that Simeon praises God personally in verses 29 to 33, and then we come to verses 34 and 35. Simeon, I think, encourages Mary and Joseph to praise God as well. It says, Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother. So notice the first part of this. Simeon praises God personally. And notice the first thing he praises God for here, and that is for a promise that God kept. For a promise that God kept. Look at verse 29 again. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. According to thy word. Simeon recognizes as he sees Jesus, he's holding Jesus in his arms, that God has kept a promise to him. God told him that he wouldn't die until he saw the Lord's Christ. And here he is, he's seen him. And he praises God for doing this according to thy word, it says in verse 29. Simeon thanks God for being ready to die. He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. That word depart, he's talking about death, and that just means to release, to dismiss. And he felt that now he was at a point where that could be done in his life in peace. He was at peace with that. According to thy word, as God had told him, that's the way it would be. And he saw that God kept that word. And God always keeps his word. You know, we also have promise that in the scripture that can allow us to be in that same situation that Simeon was, to be ready to die in peace. We have promises in God's word that allow us to be ready to die. You know, some people are not ready to die. Some people are afraid to die, because they're not ready to meet God. They've not made things right with God. They've not come to terms with Jesus Christ and turned from their sin and accepted the gift of Jesus Christ into their lives. Somebody like that's not ready to die in peace. But we can be in the place where we're like Simeon and be ready to die in peace. The Apostle Paul had that readiness as well, as he said in Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." He was at peace with dying. He saw that for him to die would mean he would be with God, he would be in heaven, he would be perfected, and he saw that as gain. That's actually better to be in that position. Although to live is Christ. We live for God's glory right now. So Simeon praises God personally for this promise that God kept according to his word. And then notice the second thing he praises God for is for salvation God provided. Look at verse 30. "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Simeon is praising God for salvation. And as he's holding Jesus in his arms, even this 40-day-old baby at this point there in the temple, he sees that this is salvation. Jesus is salvation. And who needs that salvation? Well, Simeon explains here, "which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." All people are in need of that salvation. God has prepared this. He has appointed salvation through Jesus Christ. He has planned this for all kinds of people. God's salvation, Simeon says, is a light for the Gentiles. A light, verse 32 says, to lighten the Gentiles. It reminds us again that the whole world is in darkness. Darkness of sin, darkness of unbelief and of error, of false teaching. That's all darkness in the Bible. But Simeon says this baby Jesus is a light to lighten the Gentiles in a world like that. In Jesus Christ, there is light and truth and understanding. There's a light for the Gentiles. And then he says that God's salvation is the glory of Israel. Verse 32, "a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." You know, Jesus was born as a Jew. He was born into a Jewish home. And here he is as a Jew, following the customs of the law that were required for his mother to be purified. Even though Jesus was sinless, she did not impart any sin. He did not impart any sin to Mary, but she was sinful. These customs were done, even though Jesus didn't need to do them, he did them for us. He was born under the law, the scripture says, to keep the law for us, because we cannot keep it perfectly. And we see that even from the beginning of his earthly life here. Then verse 33 tells us the amazement of Joseph and his mother. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. You know, remember Joseph and Mary heard the truth about Jesus from angels. They had heard about this before Jesus was conceived. Angel came and spoke to both Joseph and Mary and told them these wonderful things about Jesus. And so they knew these things, I think. But a lot of time had gone by. You know, 9 months plus additional 40 days here. Now they're in the temple. And here they're hearing this stranger to them speak these wonderful things about Jesus. And I'm sure it would have been amazing to them to hear these same things repeated again from somebody they don't even know. Then Jesus would be God's salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles. You know, if you think about the world today, and all of the different people that are in the world, if you have a chance to travel or you see, you know, through the internet, different conditions, there's so many different cultures in the world today. There's people who live in much the same way that we live, other countries, but yet there are people who live in much different conditions, very primitive conditions. Places where it's very hot and places where it's very cold, and people eat different foods, things that, you know, we would be disgusted to eat, and yet they eat this all the time. And just people are so different. But the scripture reminds us that people everywhere are all the same when it comes to our need of God's salvation. Everyone needs to hear the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how they live, what culture they're in. Everybody needs to see the truth that Simeon sees here, that he is God's salvation. Jesus is God's salvation for both Jew and Gentile, people everywhere. A man by the name of John Dyer, a Welsh poet and pastor from the 1700s, he once wrote this: "A man may go to heaven without health, without riches, without honors, without learning, without friends, but he can never go there without Christ." He can never go there without Christ. You know, that's true. That's what Simeon is showing us here in this passage. Jesus is God's salvation for the whole world. The whole world needs to understand that. And we need to understand that as well, that salvation is through Jesus Christ. And then we come to the second part of this Song of Simeon here in verses 34 to 35. And notice in verse 34, Simeon speaks directly. I mean, of course, he's speaking things that Mary and Joseph hear, but he speaks directly to the parents here in verse 34. "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother." I think he is trying to remind them of what they have to give thanks to God for. And he's encouraging them to take part in this song of praise to God. And so notice how he continues in praise here in verse 34. He praises God. He encourages them to praise God for the impact that God had planned for Jesus. Look at verse 34. "Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel." The impact that God had planned for Jesus. This child is set by God. That means he's appointed. He is destined by God for the fall of many in Israel. Through Jesus, many fall. They come into contact with Jesus and they are humbled. They are convicted. And then he's set, he's appointed for the rising again of many in Israel. This word rising again is the word for resurrection. It's the Bible word for resurrection here. And it seems to me that he's showing them that through Jesus, many will experience resurrection. God set this child Jesus for resurrection. What does that mean as we think about the scripture in general? Well, it means that Jesus will be resurrected. Jesus will rise again. We know that. And it means that there is a time of resurrection. This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. There's a time when the resurrection will take place. Several times, actually. And it means that Jesus will cause others to rise again, as he so clearly taught in many places. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus promises us the hope of resurrection, the certain hope of resurrection. One of those places is in John chapter 6. Jesus spoke so clearly about that. And in verse 40, he said, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." Jesus himself said that. "I will raise him up." The person who believes. "I will raise him up at the last day." And God wanted Mary and Joseph to know and rejoice in this. And he wants that for us as well. I read about a Muslim college student who came to faith in Jesus Christ. And he was telling one of his friends who asked him, you know, why did this happen? Why did you become a follower of Jesus and turn from the Muslim religion? And he said this. It's simple, really. Imagine you're walking down a road and you come to a fork in the road. And there are two people there to follow as your guide along the way. One of them is dead. And one of them is alive. Which one do you follow? Follow the one who's alive. Follow the one who was dead and is alive. And that was all God's plan. And that's what Simeon knew about Christ. God set him for resurrection. And then we see that he encourages Mary and Joseph to praise God for the sign that God planned. Look at the end of verse 34. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon says that this child is a sign. A sign in the Bible is something that has a special meaning. And oftentimes in the Gospels, it's connected with miracles, signs. And a sign is something that points to a greater reality, a greater significance. You know, we see a lot of signs as we're driving along. Think about the interstate. You're driving on the interstate and you see signs. And you're looking for signs. And you see, you know, if you're on 71 coming back from Columbus, you see State Route 61. Okay, you're looking for that. Or State Route 95. Looking for that. But when you see that sign, you know, you don't rejoice just because you see the sign necessarily. You are happy because you know that, what is that sign pointing to? It's pointing to where you get off. It's pointing to that road that's coming up. And that's what a sign is in the Bible. It's something that God does, but it points to something even greater. And Simeon says that Jesus himself is a sign. But we see that it's a sign that's rejected. Notice he says, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Jesus will be opposed. Jesus will be rejected and disobeyed. People saw Jesus. People saw what he was and where he claimed to be from heaven. And they saw that sign and they wanted to tear that sign down. They didn't want to acknowledge that at all, what that meant. And then notice Simeon speaks to Mary directly here in verse 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. That opposition, that speaking against that sign would lead to great suffering. And here we see one of the first times for Mary and Joseph anyway that they understand, they come to realize the suffering that would be a part of Jesus' life. The prophecies to Mary and Joseph had mainly been positive of what he will do for the world and the salvation and the great leader he will become, which is all true. But here Simeon warns Mary of the great pain and grief that she would experience. And we can go to John chapter 19 and we can see Mary was one of those who was there at the foot of the cross. And Jesus speaks to Mary and says, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." And she was experiencing the pain of having her son die. She would experience that. And maybe the memory of this prophecy would come back to her as she stands there at the foot of the cross and watches Jesus die. A sign that's rejected. But it's also a sign that reveals, look at the end of verse 35, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon says, your child is a sign that would be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Jesus reveals the thoughts of our hearts. We can seek to hide our real thoughts from others, but not from God. We see that Jesus tells her, God tells us through Simeon here, that Jesus is one who exposes our hearts. He takes the cover off and reveals to us, hopefully, what is inside. It's a sign that reveals. You know, we all probably have people in our lives that fulfill these words of Simeon. You probably have family or friends who resist Jesus Christ and the gospel, who maybe even speak against Jesus Christ. He's a sign that is spoken against, as Simeon said. We need to recognize that God appointed Jesus for that. This child is set. He's appointed for a sign, even a sign that will be spoken against. That's no surprise to God. Maybe a surprise to us oftentimes, but God has appointed that. We need to realize that He alone can expose hearts, and we need to pray for Him to do that, to realize that He is doing that for us. And then we need to see the things that Simeon is seeing here about Jesus. There's another Christmas song, "Do You See What I See?" And I think it's talking about a star and things like that. But do you see what Simeon sees about Jesus Christ? Do you see the things that God revealed to him about the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what we need to see to understand. God has prepared salvation for you in Jesus Christ. Think about that. Here, Simeon speaks so plainly about this baby Jesus that he's holding in his arms. This is God's salvation. Do you see that? Do you understand that? Do you know why you need Jesus Christ to be salvation for you? You need to understand that. And have you received Jesus Christ? Simeon was waiting and hoping for God to send the Anointed One, to send the Messiah. When He came, he embraced Him. He trusted Him. And that's what we need to do as well. Perhaps there's somebody here today or somebody who's listening to this message and you've never really trusted in Jesus Christ. Here is Jesus Christ. He's God's salvation. He's the light that you need. You're in darkness if you don't have Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Him and turned from your sin, you're in darkness. You need to see Jesus as Simeon saw Jesus here and to receive Him. So we see Simeon's song. He praises God personally for this promise kept. God keeps His promises. We can rejoice in that. And he praises for the salvation God provided. And then we see he encourages others, Mary and Joseph, to praise God for the impact God planned for Jesus and for the sign that Jesus is to all people. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the song of Simeon, how You used him.